The Lord, clap your hands to the Lord. If you really believe He's able. It was last year, in the month of December, last year I was driving in my car, and as I was driving, I began to notice in my right eye, it just immediately blurred. I began to rub my eye and rub my eye and look around, and I'm like, wow, what's going on? I went home, I looked in the mirror and started looking at my eye, and I couldn't see anything. So I said, well, I need to go and make me an appointment with the eye doctor. And I went to see the eye doctor, and he examined me, and he said, you need to go see a specialist. And I was like, uh-oh. So I went to see the specialist. He examined my eye and he said, something is going on. I want you to take this test. And so they put me in a little tube and rolled me into this tube. I think they call it an MRI. And they took these photographs of my brain. Once the pictures were developed, I went back to my eye doctor and he said, my suspicions have proven correct. He looked at me and he said, you have a tumor on your brain. And my heart sank. And I was like, I'm not hearing this. Not me. A tumor? Yes, it is lodged on your brain right behind your right eye. That's what's causing the blurred vision. We need to have surgery. I prayed and I prayed and I sought the Lord. And surgery was scheduled for June of this year. I went to the hospital. They performed the surgery. I was in the hospital for 3 days. And I want you to know the prayers of the saints of God. It works. Prayer works. Prayer works. Your prayers are not in vain. Hallelujah. He's able. God touched me through that whole process. I was out of evangelistic ministry for about a month and a half, couldn't preach anywhere. But during that time, God just spoke to me and strengthened me and worked with me, and here I am. He's able. I said, He's able. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's still healing. He is still strengthening. He is still reviving. He is still the mighty God. Hallelujah. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's in this building today. I say He's in the building today. Praise God. Praise God. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what your experience is. God wants to touch you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so it's with great, great joy that I greet you here today in the name of Jesus Christ. It's been a long time since I was able to be in this wonderful spot, but I'm glad to be here. Amen. Appreciate, amen, Pastor and Sister Kyle and Pastor Sapp for his hospitality and all of you here today. This morning, I want to invite you to go with me to the book of St. Mark in the second chapter, the book of St. Mark, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1 and go down to verse 12. Now, that's a lot of verses, so I'm going to ask if you'd help me. This is what I'd like for you to do. As I was reading through these verses, I noticed a particular phrase being repeated over and over. So what I would like for you to do is whenever we come to that particular phrase, I want you to shout it out. That phrase is sick of the palsy. When we get to that part, I'm going to pause and I want you to shout out sick of the palsy. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, speaking of Jesus Christ. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome that when this service is dismissed, we are walking out to the parking lot, walking out to our cars, telling everyone we never saw it like we saw it today. We never had church like we had church today. We never had a move of the Holy Ghost like we had today. Praise God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it today. If you'd help me preach, I want to preach to you this message, sick of the palsy. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, in the glorious name that is high above every name that is named, Lord Jesus, we thank you now, and we pray, God, for complete liberty to flow through this house. Meet every need that's represented here, Lord. And God, I pray most of all, don't let one person leave the same way that they came in. We are expecting, we are looking, we are anticipating for a mighty visitation of your spirit. We give your name the praise and the glory. And the whole church say, in Jesus' name. And if you believe God is still God, won't you clap your hands to him right now? Oh, yes, we praise you, Almighty God. Angels are in this building. Hallelujah. There's a great cloud of witnesses in this building. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated. Sick of the palsy. In the second chapter of the book of Mark, we find here a story of this young man who had a dreaded disease. The Bible describes him as being one that was sick of the palsy. Palsy was a dreaded condition. Palsy, I guess in our modern terminology, we would call it paralysis. The young man was paralyzed. In the Bible, if someone had the palsy, it usually showed up in perhaps one or two ways. Sometimes the person had it both ways. But if an individual had a problem moving their limbs, paralyzed, a condition where the mind will say one thing, but the limbs would not respond. It was a condition where they wanted to move, but the body said no. That's palsy. Another way palsy showed up was when a person would lose feeling in their body. They couldn't feel things with their fingertips. They couldn't feel things when they walked or bumped into something. They would lose their ability to feel something. There was a tingling all over their body, and they couldn't feel anything. That was the palsy. And every now and then when I visit churches from city to city and from state to state, doesn't matter how big the church is or how small the church is, it seems to me that in every congregation, there is always somebody present that is sick of the palsy. You're saying, Brother Easter, they're paralyzed? Maybe not physically, but spiritually, they don't feel nothing. Spiritually, they can't move. I don't understand how you can be in a church like this and you can't feel something. I don't understand how you can be in a congregation like this and not be able to move. Hallelujah, Jesus is in the house. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's all right to clap your hands. It's all right to get excited. It's all right to stomp your feet. Whoa, hallelujah. Praise God. The palsy got a hold to you. This young man had the palsy, but one thing he had in his favor was he had four good friends. I tell you, man, it's nothing like having good friends when you're on your back. Nothing like having good friends when you're down and out. Somebody that's going to call you up and check on you. Somebody that's going to come by and pray for you. That's a good friend. I'm not talking about people that's going to talk about you. I ain't talking about people that always want something for themselves. But I'm talking about folks that care enough about you that'll knock on your door and ring your cell phone and say, "Are you okay?" Hallelujah. This man had four good friends. They came by because they heard that there was a revival in West Palm. Hallelujah. They went to their friend and said, "We heard the news that Jesus is in town. He's in a particular house and he's preaching to the people. Now we know that you can't feel anything. We know that you're not able to move. We know that you are sick of the palsy. What we're going to do is pick you up and take you to where Jesus is. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with today. If we can just get you to where Jesus is, it doesn't matter how messed up your life might be, but if we can get you to where Jesus is, we know everything's gonna be all right. I just gotta get you to where Jesus is." So his friends, I could just imagine them looking at that big old bed he was laying in, and each one grabbed the post, lifted him up, and proceeded to find the house where Jesus was in. Now, you got to be careful which house you go to. Amen. Because every house that claims to be the house of the Lord is not the house of the Lord. Just because it has a steeple don't mean Jesus is there. Just because it got stained glass windows don't mean Jesus is there. Just because the preacher come on TV, that don't mean Jesus is there. I want to go to the place where Jesus is. Woo, hallelujah. So they picked him up. And they got out on the street, and they looking one way and looking to the other way. And now, which house is the right house? Which church is the right church? And so they've been again on their journey trying to find the right house. And as they begin walking, I could just see it in my mind. As they begin to walk down the highways and the boulevards, they would see this beautiful house, big, beautiful house. Well, we just know Jesus got to be in that house. I mean, look how big that house is. Jesus got to be in that house. And so they looked at one another and said, you think Jesus is there? Well, we can find out if he's there. How do we do that? We give it the test. Set the bed down. I'm going to give it the test. And so one of the brothers walks up to the house, and he peeps in the window and see all these people sitting in their pews. And then he gives it this. No, he's not there. They pick the bed up. Let's go down just a little bit further. Hallelujah. They pick the bed up and they go to another house. Oh, yes, everybody likes to go there. I heard about this house. Amen. Everybody talks about this house. Well, let's find out if Jesus is in that house. Set the bed down. Let's give it the test. So he walks up to that old big cathedral, and he peeps in through those beautiful double doors. People are packed in that congregation, and he goes like this. Nope, he ain't there. Which house is the house that Jesus is in? Let's go down the road a little bit further. They pick the bed up and they're walking down the street. Is it a big house? I don't know. Is it a little house? I don't know. Is it a building? I don't know. Is it a storefront? I don't know. I heard they were meeting at a school. Somebody told me they're meeting down at the school. Well, let's take them there. So they lifted the bed up and they came down the street and they saw the school. Could this be the house where Jesus is? They said, I don't know, but let's give it the test. And the Bible says it was noise abroad. It was so much noise, you could hear the people shouting from one end to the other. There was so much noise and excitement. Hallelujah, Jesus got to be in that house. Come on, church, is Jesus in this house? I'm gonna tell you, wherever Jesus is, there's gonna be some noise. Wherever Jesus is, there's gonna be some shouting. Wherever Jesus is, woo, hallelujah, there was noise in that house. I don't believe God likes quiet church. God don't want no quiet church. He don't want no sleepy church. He don't want no dead church. Hallelujah. He not drawn to that kind of a church. But Jesus is drawn to where there's going to be some singing. He's drawn to where there's going to be some praise. He's drawn to where there's going to be some shouting. Hallelujah. He likes it noisy. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Woo.
believe we found the right place. I believe we found the right place. So they looked around and they began to strategize. Now, how are we going to get him in there? How are we going to get him in there? And they looked and they noticed it was packed. The place was packed out. Wall to wall people. Crowds everywhere to hear Jesus preach. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like to hear Jesus preach? Now, I've heard some good preachers, but never a man spake like this man. Jesus just wasn't preaching the word. He was the word preaching the word. Woo, hallelujah. Can't nobody preach like Jesus. That place was packed out. They looked at their friend and said, hey, man, look, we found the right place. Jesus is in that house. Woo, hallelujah. But we got a problem. We got a problem. We got a problem. There's no way we're going to be able to get you in that big old bed through that crowd. Now, listen. We know which house it is. We know where the revival is. Praise God. Now, listen. We can't get you through that crowd. So what we're going to do, see, what we're going to do is we're going to take you back home and come back tomorrow night. Huh? What? You at the right house? We gonna come back early tomorrow. That's what he said. No. Y'all, I don't wanna go back home. What are you talking about? We can't get you through that crowd. Y'all gonna have to do something. Because I'm too close to my blessing to go home now. I'm too close to getting a miracle to go home now. You don't know what I had to go through to get here today. I'm not going to leave till I get my blessing. Woo, hallelujah. I love people that got that kind of an attitude. I've come too far to turn around now. I've been through too much to turn around now. I'm this close to my blessing. I'm not going back home the same way I came. Not today. They looked at him. They said, what do you expect us to do? He said, y'all better come up with something. So they said, we can't get him in through the front door. They looked around on the side of the building. We can't get him in that way. They ran around to the back of the building. Everything's locked up, shut down. Can't get him in that way. They went back to him, and they said, look, man, we looked everywhere. There's no way we can get to you. He said, you look on that side of the building. Man, there's a bunch of stairs leading up to the roof. He said, take me to the roof. Are you out of your mind? You see those stairs going to the roof? Them rickety, rickety stairs going to the roof. You want us to carry this big, heavy bed with you in it up those stairs? And see, you know, the problem with so many of us, we want God to do something, but we want it easy. We want it right now. No sacrifice, no commitment, no change. We just want blessing, blessing, blessing. But I'm telling you, it's gonna cost you something. You're gonna have to pay for your blessing. You're gonna have to give up some things. You're gonna have to change some things if you really want it bad enough. You might have to sweat for this. You might have to shout for this. It might get uncomfortable. But you, if you want it bad enough, help get up them stairs. Man, they grabbed hold of that bed. And they started up them stairs. It was steep. It was not easy. They was grunting. Oh, this bed is heavy. Come on. Ah, their fingers were hurting. Their backs were hurting. Ah, I didn't expect it to be like this. But sometimes if you want it bad enough, you'll do anything to get it. Hallelujah. I'll go through hell and high water to get it. I'll go without to get it. Hallelujah. I'm going to get my blessing today in the name of, come on. They got up to the roof, put the bed down. Oh, man, that was hard. They looked around. No doors. No windows. You mean we did all this and still there's no way? All that I've been through and I still can't see a way out. All that I had to put up with and nothing's changed. They got a little of an attitude. They looked over their friend and said, and look at this, all that we've done, all that we had to go through, no windows, no doors, still no way. Now, what do you expect us to do? That guy laying on the bed, he looked around, he said, well, I reckon y'all gonna have to tear something up. Woo! Hallelujah! Sometimes you're gonna have to take off your jacket. Sometimes you're gonna have to come out of your clothes. Sometimes you're gonna have to tear something up. You hear me, devil? You're not gonna get over this time, because I'm gonna tear it up. You think I shout, you ain't seen nothing. You think I dance, you ain't seen nothing. I'm getting ready to tear it up. How bad do you want that miracle? How bad do you want to see that person get saved? How bad do you want to be delivered from drugs? You got to tear it up. Somebody say, tear it up. You can't be worrying about what you look like now. You can't be worrying about what somebody gonna say about you. Somebody say, tear it up. You can't be all cute now. You can't be all pretty now. You can't be worrying about your hair now. You need an answer from God. You need God to move in your life. Woo. You gotta be ready. You gotta be willing to tear something up. Now be seated here for a minute. Be seated for a minute. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Inside the church, Jesus was preaching. Congregation was captivated. Nobody could move. Every eye was on him. Then suddenly, dust and debris began falling from the ceiling. People in the church was looking around going, No. What's going on? They working on the building. Right in the middle of service, ceiling tile was coming up. All kinds of stuff falling down. People was like, couldn't they have waited till after service? Don't they know we have a revival? People people looking up. They couldn't believe it. They could not believe that someone would have the audacity to interrupt the preaching. But when you're in a Pentecostal church, you don't have to wait till the altar call to get happy. You don't have to wait for somebody's permission to just go ahead and, whoa, hallelujah, let the Lord have his way. You can shout at the end of the service. You can shout in the middle of the service. You can shout at the beginning of the service. It won't hurt my feelings one bit. Woo, Jesus. But wait. Look at this. Look at this. Everybody in the church looks up at the ceiling. Oh my goodness. Pastor gonna be mad. They watching Pastor on the platform trying to read his facial expressions. They looking at Jesus. Is he gonna be upset? Is this gonna mess up his train of thought? Wait a minute. Now they're lowering a bed. What? In the middle of the church, a bed is coming down. People looking at each other. Why, I never. This is so out of order. I just don't get on my last nerve. Folks are looking up, and there's a big hole in the ceiling. They see four faces looking down. Jesus looked up. He sees faith. Woo! Hayarabohoshata! Right in the middle of the service, the bed settles down. On the floor, everybody quiet, everybody watching. Jesus steps from behind the pulpit and starts approaching the bed. People sitting there going, ooh, man, I'm glad I didn't stay home today. Ooh, something getting ready to kick off in here, boy. Ooh, man. Watch him. Jesus got close to the bed and looked down at the boy laying in the bed. Somebody in the church was like, okay, watch this. I know what he's getting ready to do. What? I heard that he was in a church service one time and a lady came in, bowed over, hadn't sat up straight in 12 years. He stopped his sermon and called her forth and healed her. Are you serious? I ain't joking, man. Hey, that ain't nothing. My auntie told me. She was in a church service one night, and a man came in with a withered up hand. And Jesus spotted him in the congregation, closed his Bible, called the man out, and said, stretch forth your hand. And his hand was healed. What? I'm serious. Ooh, psst, hey, that ain't nothing. What?
Y'all not gonna believe this. I was at a funeral.
Jesus interrupted the funeral, told the boy to get up. Everybody ran out the church. It was wild, man.
Ooh, something's getting ready to happen here. Something's getting ready to happen here. I'm glad I didn't stay home today.
Somebody's getting a healing today. Somebody gonna get delivered today. Somebody gonna get the Holy Ghost today. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is in the house.
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus. He walks over to the bed and he looks down at the boy. Everybody eyes on him. Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." There were some folks in the church was like, "What did he say? What did he just say? Wait a minute. The boy is crippled. He don't need his sins again. And who does he think he is? Only God." Can forgive sins. Jesus perceived in his heart what they were saying. Turned over to the religious section of the church. You know, there's some people in church think they know everything. You can't tell them nothing. It's got to be the way they think it ought to be. And if it ain't the way they think it ought to be, then they're going to sit up and complain. Never mind somebody got the Holy Ghost. Never mind somebody got baptized. It just took too long. Why the preacher had to preach? Religious folks. Jesus walked over to the religious section. He said, "Let me ask you a question. You tell me, which is easier? For me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or for me to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier? Because the truth of the matter is, only God can do either one." I'm so glad I know who he is. I'm so glad I know who he is. Hallelujah. So, to demonstrate to you that I've got authority to forgive sins and show you that I can work on the inside, let me demonstrate by showing you what I can do for the outside. And he walked over to that young man. He said, "Son, get up, take up thy bed, the thing that carried you, the thing that buried you, the thing that hindered you, that thing that addicted you. Take that thing up, put it up on your shoulders, and get to stepping, because he'll give you power, he'll give you dominion over every work of the devil." Woo, hallelujah! Boy, when that young man went out of that church holding up that bed, everybody was just amazed. "I never seen it like this. We never had church like this. We never felt the spirit like this." Woo! That's the kind of church God wants us to have. That young man was sick of the palsy. Now I'm getting ready to bring it down to a closing right here. Two things, as I studied these verses of scripture, two things jumped out at me. It's amazing how the word of God can jump out at you. Did it ever happen to you before? You sit there and read that verse, you've read it before, but this time when you read it, it jumps out at you. Or show you something you didn't see the last time you was there. Why is that? Because it's a living word. It's a living word. Hallelujah. And I was reading over these texts of scripture and the verses, and I kept noticing over and over that same phrase, sick of the palsy. So I began to circle it. And I'm like, wow, it's mentioned here many times. And then the Lord began to show me something. Out of all
the characters in the scripture that had different situations. This particular young man was never recognized by his name. Never mentioned his name. You got Zacchaeus, you got Bartimaeus, different ones. But this fella here, not one time was his name mentioned. As I began to look at that, I saw this. He was not identified by his name. Rather, he was identified by his condition. Amen. Who is that man?
He's sick of the palsy.
Amen. They picked up the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Amen. They carried, what's his name? Sick of the palsy. We don't know his name, but we know his condition. Don't you let anyone identify you by your condition. Amen. Because we know that conditions change. Once I was a nobody going nowhere, up to no good, but my condition changed when I found Jesus. Hallelujah. He will change your condition. No matter what condition you're in, I'm here to tell you it's only temporary. Because when you get a hold of Jesus and Jesus gets a hold of you, old things will pass away and everything will become new. So don't let your condition identify you. Amen. That's point number one. It was two things that the Lord showed me. The second thing was, not only was he identified by his condition, he was also identified by his attitude. He had an attitude. What was his attitude? He was sick. Of the palsy. Every now and then we need to get us an attitude. Every now and then we need to take our thumb out of our mouth, wipe our eyes and say, you know what, devil? Enough is enough. I'm sick of this mess. I'm sick of this mess. I'm sick of it. And I'm not take. Come on. God said, behold, you shall have power. He said, you shall be an overcomer. He said, you are more than a conqueror. We need to get ourselves an attitude and say, devil, you should have just left me alone. You should have kept on walking. But you made me mad now. I got an attitude. I'm sick of this mess. Sick of being a second-class Christian. I'm sick of being lukewarm. I'm sick of always being baby. I'm sick of always having to call on somebody else to pray for me. I'm ready to put on the full armor of God. I'm ready to rise up and be everything God told me I am. I'm not a loser. I'm not backslidden anymore. I'm coming forth in power. I'm going to come forth in glory. I'm going to come forth in victory because I'm sick of this mess. Hallelujah. If you're sick of it, won't you stand with me right now? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of always wanting to be something and never able to be it. I'm sick of making plans and never getting them fulfilled. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of setting goals and never reaching a goal. I'm sick of dreaming and my dreams never coming true. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the devil in my house. I'm sick of the devil in my finances. I'm sick of the devil messing with my mind. I'm sick of it. It's
See, some of y'all are not sick of it. Some of y'all are used to it, and you don't know any better. You can't keep living like you're living. But I'm calling on people that's tired of being tired. I'm calling on people that's tired of the mess. I'm calling on people that's tired of being lukewarm. I'm calling on people that's tired of never shouting, not clapping your hands, never praising. I'm calling on people that's sick of the palsy. If you're sick of it, come on up to the front. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being defeated. I'm sick of struggling. I'm sick of being sick. I'm coming to get what's mine now. I'm coming to claim what belongs to me. Come on up close. A lot of folks coming in behind you. I'm sick of this mess. I'm sick of my living conditions. I'm sick of the environment that I gotta be in. On my job, at home, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being under the control of another spirit. It's not God, and I know. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being addicted. Come on, there's people here that got addictions. You got things you've been trying to quit for the life of you, you can't stop. You're dealing with secrets in your closet and you're not proud of, and you wish that God would deliver you. Hallelujah. You got to get sick enough to tear something up. Let me tell you something. That battle you've been fighting is not uncommon. It is common to all of us. You know why? Because we're all fighting it. The devil wants to make you think you're the only one. You're by yourself. But he's a liar. You're not fighting that thing by yourself. There's somebody next to you fighting the same thing. There's somebody on this side fighting the same thing. They won't tell you, but they're fighting it. People are here fighting depression, fighting emotional distress, fighting things in your spirit that happened years ago, and you're still fighting it. You can't trust nobody. Amen. You listen to the devil all the time telling you you're no good and you'll never be successful and you'll never make it. You'll never be used of God. And we listen to that mess and we start agreeing with the devil. I ain't no good. I'm so weak. I keep trying, but I can't get through. Oh, Lord, poor me. Forget that mess. I'm sick of it. I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling believer in the liberating power of the name of Jesus. I am strong. I am a deliverer. I am set free. I've got Jesus. I got his name. I've got his word. I can't lose. I can't lose. I can't lose. Will you lift your hands in victory all over this building right now? Father, I thank you as you release an anointing upon every one of them. Let there be an anointing of liberty and freedom from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Hallelujah. Forget those things that are behind you now. Forget those things you brought in. You're going to walk out of here different. Forget all the troubles, anxiety, and fear. Forget about the disappointments and all the questions. God is at work in your life right now. Hallelujah. I'm sick of it, Lord. I ain't going to be the same no more. Hallelujah. I'm not looking back anymore. I'm not listening to the devil anymore. I'm sick of it. In the name of Jesus, I release healing. Flow through this building. I release healing in your body right now. You're sick of being sick? I release healing to touch you right now in the name of Jesus. Binding up every spirit of infirmity. We come against cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bind that ugly, devilish spirit up right now. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for thyroid conditions to be healed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm sick of this mess. I plead the blood of Jesus over every diabetic in the building. I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Heal diabetes. I'm sick of it. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would touch everyone with blood pressure problems. The blood that's flowing through their body is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch them right now. Heal the blood. Heal the blood. Heal the blood count. White blood count. In the name of Jesus. Cholesterol got to come under control right now. Touch the liver, the heart, the kidneys. Touch the stomach problems in the name of the Lord. Heal in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, receive it. I bind up every spirit of arthritis, bursitis, chronic pain in the joints and the muscles, swollen ankles in the name of Jesus, bone spurs. I command you to bow in the name of Jesus and be healed. Hallelujah. I speak to every emotional pain that's not visible but is definitely there. I speak healing in your emotions. Let your emotions be healed right now. Let that anxiety, let that fear, let that doubt be released from you. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. All that pain from your past and abuse, let it be released. Let it go. Release it in the name of Jesus and be healed. I'm sick of it. I come against fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Abba Shakri Masandala Bahando. Oh yes. Wrap your arms around me, Lord. Wrap your arms around me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh yes. Lord, I pray right now for the loss of appetite. God, that you will increase their appetite in the name of the Lord. Cause them to gain weight. Cause them to gain healthy weight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, receive that right now, whoever you are. I'm sick of this mess. Lord, I pray for angels to be released in their homes, in their apartments, in the place they live. Let your angels dwell there right now. People back at the house that don't know you, don't love you. God, I want your angels to disturb them, Lord. Let them know there's a presence that's greater. Turn their hearts around. Oh, yes. Every tumor, every growth, every cyst, you got to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I see it done. Hallelujah. I'm sick of it. Hallelujah. Your broken heart, let it be healed. God wants to touch you right now. That disappointment that has been plaguing you, God's going to touch you right now. That low self-esteem, that feeling of not being worthy, God, touch that right now. Turn it around. Turn it. Come on, sister. Turn it around. You are worthy. Turn it around. Come on, brother. Ask God, Lord, forgive me of my sins. God, forgive me of my sins. Come on. Let those sins go. Confess it to the Lord and be forgiven right now. I don't want to carry this baggage no more. God, I come to you, Lord. Open me up. Work on me, Jesus. I'm sick of living the way I've been living. I'm sick of struggling the way I've been struggling. I'm going to tear something up. I'm going to tear it up, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Pride, I'm going to tear you up. Unbelief, I'm going to tear you up. Procrastination, I'm going to tear you up. Today is my day. Yes. Back problems be healed. In the name of Jesus, touch the neck. Oh, yes. Lupus, be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, Olabashika Mahanda, glaucoma, be healed in Jesus' name. Yes, Ikamasota, in the name of the Lord. in the name of the Lord. Y'all can sing.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Will you let him do it?
Wrap me in your arms.
Will you let him wrap you in his arms?
Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms.
It's gonna be okay.
Wrap me in your arms.
It's gonna be all right. It's gonna work out.
Wrap me in your arms.
Oh.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
It's not gonna always rain.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Oh, somebody ought to begin to praise him.
Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
How bad do you want? Tear something up. Dig down deep.
Wrap me in your arms. God who loves me, who wraps me in his arms, and that is the place where I'm changed, and that's where I belong. Sing, take me to that place,
to that place, Lord, to that secret place.
Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms.
Wrap me in your arms. Say it again, sing. Take me to that place.
To that place, Lord. To that secret place.
Hallelujah.
I can be with you.
Somebody beside you.
You can make me alive.
Would you reach over and lay hands on somebody right now? Such as I have, give I unto thee.
Wrap
in the name
your
of
arms.
Jesus, rise up, rise
wrap
up,
me
rise
in
up.
Your arms.
Wrap me in your arms.
Sing, wrap me in your arms. have won the victory.
Somebody help them sing.
Hallelujah.
Come on, church.
You have won it all for me.
You believe it?
And death could not hold you down.
Do you receive it?
You are the risen King. Seated in majesty.
Tear it up!
You are the risen.
Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you are here this afternoon and you've never yet been born again of the water and of the Spirit according to the Bible, there's only one way. There's only one way, and it's for everyone. You must be baptized if you want to see the kingdom of God. You must be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that name is Jesus. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, please let us know. We want to baptize you according to the Bible. God promises that if you would walk in obedience to His word, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So today, if you desire to be baptized, please let us know. We are prepared to baptize you right now. Praise the Lord. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here today. We never saw it on this fashion. This has been wonderful. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30 for prayer.
Yes, sir. 6:30 for prayer.
6:30. 7 o'clock service time.
Amen.
Bring some folks with you. Let's pack this place out. Then again on Sunday. Oh, there's so much I want to talk to you about. So much I want to say. Don't miss it. Bring someone with you. God bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor.
To those of you who are going to be baptized in water in Jesus' name today, we want you to move to this side of the sanctuary. If you're going to be baptized today in Jesus' name, we're going to move you to this side. Our baptism is right out that side door.